Third hour at Aaron Donick and Jace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie has left the building. He's headed to the airport.
Well, he's packing up. He's leaving as we speak.
Well, okay, but it's nobody can see that, Chase, so you didn't really have to clarify. Nobody can see that.
I know, but just, I did.
Just you.
It's theater of the mind.
Oh. Okay. Well, thanks for making that official, that he has not officially left yet. So thank goodness for that. Did want to talk, we didn't get a chance to talk about this because we weren't on the air on Friday. And we didn't get into it yesterday because we were more talking about what took place on the field. But I will say, I did talk about being in the stands for the first time ever at a Titans game. And so much over the years has been talked about with the experience going to Titans games at Nissan Stadium. And I will say this. I don't know if this is the way it's been this season. There's a lot of people that listen to the show that go to every home game. They're season ticket holders. Maybe have been season ticket holders since day one or season ticket holders this year. And maybe they've experienced this all year. I don't know. But my experience was, quite honestly, not what I expected it to be. It was about as flawless as you could imagine a game being. I mean, I've heard all the horror stories over the years of the pain in the butt that it's been to get into the stadium. You know, basically the pathetic concessions, or there's not enough workers, or it takes forever, the long lines. I mean, you name it. I've heard it over the years. And I will say this. We walked right up to the club level area, right through security, mobile ticketing, right up there, scan, and in. And that process from the parking lot of walking up to that area and going through took us about 2 to 3 minutes. That's it.
Yeah. It's been the three games I've been to this year have been pretty easy. And I've gotten there at different times. I've gotten there, you know, close to kickoff, right at kickoff, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes before kickoff. And it's been a pretty easy process. They've put up those new fancy-type metal detector things, so that helps. That speeds the process up a little bit. But and then, you know, I haven't really had too many complaints with concession stands either. And I've sat in the lower bowl, the club level, the upper bowl. I've been at different areas of the stadium. So I definitely think that they have worked on that. It's funny you bring it up, though, because I meant to ask you, you know, what that process was like for you, because, you know, we've talked about it so many times over the years. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I I've talked about it with a lot of people. I talked about it when I got home because, you know, Lauren and her mom and the people here at the house, how did it go? And, you know, I was like, flawless. I mean, obviously it was a great game and, you know, the Titans won. And so it was an exciting finish and all that put aside that, you know, I have the ability to put them in departments, right? You know, put them in categories, separate them and break each thing down. And I just get wrapped up in, oh, the Titans won on a last second field goal. And therefore none of this, you know, the rest of it doesn't matter. I'm like, no, I have the ability to go through all the layers and all the steps that we went through. And I was pleasantly surprised, pleasantly pleased with the process. We literally had no issues whatsoever. I mean, none. None at all. And the other part was, and whether it was going in at halftime and getting food and drinks, I mean, the bathrooms,
yeah,
no issues where, you know, you had to wait 30, you know, it's just, was there a line at time? Yes, but it everything moved pretty darn quick, considering that. And oh, by the way, it was a really, really good crowd. And I just wonder, if is this the new norm at Nissan Stadium? Is this how it's been? I thought the game presentation was better. Is it the best in the league? I would say probably not. You know, to quote Mike Vrabel, probably not. Is it better? Yeah. did have anywhere to go but up.
Well, you got Terry Tate in the building.
He was actually there. He was in the building. He was doing a lot of cussing, but, you know, okay. He was in the building. It's better. And I get it. You could say, well, good Lord, it had nowhere to go but up. Or basically, the only way it could get worse was they just bag it. Like, they just don't do anything. So, yeah. Okay. But, no, it was a lot better. I'll tell you what, the strobe lighting, and I know most of their games are all day games.
Mm-hmm.
Chase, the strobe lighting was outstanding. It was really cool.
That's really cool. You're talking about with the stadium lights and how they do that? Yeah.
That was really cool.
So when they put those new lights in, I guess it's been a couple of years now, that was something that they talked about, and they've used it for Nashville SC games. So I got to see that with the Nashville SC games when they score a goal or they run out that they can, you know, because it's not like the old lights where if you – turn them off, it takes 5 minutes for them to come back on, and so they can turn them off and make them, you know, strobe like you're saying. I think that is a cool element, especially for the night games that they've added. So it's little things. I think they can still work at it for sure with presentation. I'm getting used to the new PA announcer. I think he's growing into the role.
It's getting better. Definitely.
It's just the one thing that I had to remind myself, and when we talked about this before, when you had the Duke for 20-something years, you were used to the Duke. You were just used to how he did it and his cadence and, you know, how he would say third down. And so that's just what – it's just like if Paul McCann ever left, whoever the next person is, you would have to get used to it because Paul is very unique. So you know, I think he does a fine job, and he's growing into the role, and there's certain things that he may try that they may say, okay, that doesn't work, and then you try something else. But I've been to, like I said, I think I've been to 3 games this year, and it's been better every time. So they're getting there with the game presentation and PA and all of that. So and those are important. You know, you may sit here and go, why does that matter? I just want him to win.
Game presentation
matters.
Game presentation matters. I mean, and I'm sure there are some that do have that notion. They could care less. Well, you're in the minority. Okay, that's just not how it works today. Like the days of just saying, hey, you know, just show up and you're just here for the product. That's it. It's just like saying, hey, I'm just a coach. No, you're not. Those days are long gone. Like the days of just saying, hey, I'm just a football coach. No, you're not. Okay, you got to do a whole lot of glad handing. You got to do these luncheons, or you got to be out. You got to roll up your sleeves and get out with the public, whether it's college or pros. You got to be, you know, with the boosters. Like that whole notion of I'm just here to be a football coach.
Yeah,
those days are long gone, and the days of just saying, well, hey, doesn't matter what we do, you're just here to see the product, and that's all that matters. Those days are long gone too. Like there was a time you could say that. Like no, today it's about Wi-Fi. It's about comfort, right?
Sure.
It's about food. It's about the experience. It's about the seats. There's a lot more that goes into it because you know what? If you don't do that, people will and already have said, fine, I'll stay at home.
Right.
It's much more comfortable at home.
You know what has gotten a ton better? You just said it, the Wi-Fi. Like sitting in the stands. Now, is it perfect?
I was actually able to tweet sitting in the stands, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to because, like I said, it was a packed house.
Sure.
So it's not like I'm the only person on my phone.
Yeah. Did you connect to the Wi-Fi, though? Did you connect to the stadium Wi-Fi?
I did.
They have?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And see, that when they first started that, wasn't very good, and it's gotten better. Now, it's never going to be perfect when you have 69,000 people in one place using it all. And so I think that it certainly has improved. Now my, you know, if I'm on the right side, my phone still connects to the press box, so that helps. But
yeah, I was not on that side. I was wondering that because I did check. I'm like, can I maybe hook up to the press box?
Yeah,
no, too far. I was on the other side.
But the stadium Wi-Fi works. You know, has worked great. But with game presentation and what you're talking about, like when I first started going to Predators games, I didn't know anything about hockey. I wasn't a hockey fan. Just be truthful, didn't care. I went. A buddy of mine in college said, hey, look, I got tickets. You want to go? I said, okay, sure. And what drew me in was the, hey, you suck, or Thanks, Paul, or the band on the stage. It was the game ops, game presentation stuff. And then, oh, by the way, there's a hockey game going on. And so the fun of it, of going to a game, kept me coming back. And then I learned about the game and then became a fan of the game. The NFL and the Titans, you know, in this case, they didn't have to do that early on because, oh, it's the NFL. We've wanted that for so long. Well, now as generations change, like somebody like your son, you're going to need to draw him in with other things other than just the football game on the field. And they had to learn that the hard way. Like you said, I think they've gotten better at it. I think they can continue to get better at it. There's more, you know, and Bob Flynn, who's with the Titans now, came from the Predators. He obviously knows, you know, how that stuff works. But I think that it's more important now than ever that just because it's football or it's the NFL doesn't mean that you're automatically going to draw people in, because I can sit on my couch and check my bets and my fantasy team and have Red Zone on one TV and the Titans game on the other. And, you know, there are other – like, they can continue to get better at showing out-of-town highlights. Like, I think they could do a little bit better job of that. It's improved, but, you know, I want to see what's going on in other markets because of the of this little gambling thing that we talk about quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And they've embraced that, too. Did you notice all the BetMGM signage that, mm-hmm. that they throw up
yep.
there?
Yep,
so.
I did. In fact, I didn't realize the Mercedes-Benz Dome had been – it's now Caesars?
Yeah.
Last night? I didn't even know that they had changed that over.
Yeah, that they're the first casino, I think, to have that kind of sponsorship. But it's the Caesars Superdome because Mercedes-Benz went to Atlanta to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But yeah, we did have a texter that was asking, "How was your experience in the stands versus the press box?" So, a little bit different.
It's a little bit different. You know? I went in with very, very low expectations and came out going, "Okay, this has gotten a whole." The halftime show they put on with the lights was really, really good. I had season ticket holders around me that told me that's the best halftime show they've ever seen at the stadium.
Oh, wow.
Thursday night. Like I said, everything I was on the lookout. I mean, I just was. I wanted to experience this because I've heard so many bad stories over the years and so many horrific stories over the years. And so many, we've taken so many calls and you know, tweets and texts and of just how miserable their experience was at Nissan Stadium. And so I went in bracing for the worst, considering, you know, I don't go to the games like I used to. I just don't. I've had to pick and choose, unfortunately. You do all these hockey games, and life gets crazier the older you get. And I just don't, you know, I've just chosen to stay home and watch it. But the Predators game was postponed. It's, you know, the Thursday night. We're not doing the show the next. I'm like, man, this is the perfect opportunity for me to go experience this Titans game, and I was glad I did because I got a little bit different perspective. And I guess now what I'm trying to figure out is this how is this how it is? Is this the new norm at Nissan Stadium? Is this what everybody's been experiencing all season long? Or was this just an anomaly? Like, I actually just caught every break. Like, I came to the, you know, to security at the right time. I went through the gate at the right time. I caught the right time at the concession stand. I caught the right times at the bathrooms. Did I just literally, was it just my night?
Right.
to catch a break with everything and experience everything where I go, okay, this was good. Now, obviously, that no control over the lights and stuff. That's already been, you know, that was already planned whether I was there or not. And so it has nothing to do with timing or luck. So that was already an upgrade. I thought the presentation was much, much better. Like I said, is it perfect? No. But much, much better. I'll tell you what, you know, I bring it up more than anybody on this show. The viral videos every single week in the NFL, in the stands. Like the fighting and the brawls that goes on, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. Now, luckily, these videos are not from Nissan Stadium. They're around the league in other markets where you've got all these fans just brawling in the stands. It's, like I said, it's absolute embarrassing. And there was a part of me that was a little concerned about that. Like, I'm taking my 10-year-old to a game. Like, am I going to experience, like, fans like throwing beer on each other and brawling around me? So I was a little bit concerned, like, oh, okay, what, am I going to see this? Obviously, didn't experience anything like that. In fact, had just the opposite happen. So we come out from the club level area during halftime, where we sat in there to warm up a little bit, even though it wasn't that bad Thursday night, quite honestly. It wasn't. It was, you know, it was a little bit chilly, but overall, it was very comfortable considering, you know, where we were. We're past 3 weeks. We're 3 weeks into December. You could expect a much, much colder night than it was. So it was actually very, I thought it was pretty comfortable. But we went inside, warm up a little bit. We come out, and we just, you know, the timing was right whenever Amani Hooker had the big interception. And we're going down the steps, and the Hooker interception happens, and a fan there on the end, you know, went crazy, like crazy excited. And he jumped up and out into this, you know, to the stairs. And unfortunately, he hit Maddox, and Maddox fell, you know, lost his icy. Now, he had already had that icy in there the whole time. So he had already finished off 3/4 of it. So it's not like it was a brand new icy. And so the fan was very apologetic. And so it spilled everywhere, and it was a lost cause. And he was very apologetic. And I was like, you know, don't worry about it. You know, appreciate you, you know, right, saying something. Don't worry about it. You know, this thing was almost, it was an accident. This thing was almost gone anyway. You know, was Maddox bummed? Yeah, didn't get to finish it off. Was it the end of the world? No. And I told him that. Like, dude, you had almost finished it. No big deal. We go to our seats. We're probably 12 rows down from this guy. He would have had to have seen that we were on the end, and he would have had to at least seen where we went. But 5 minutes later, dude shows up and hands Maddox a brand new icy.
See, that's cool.
And I thought that was like the coolest thing in the world.
Didn't have to do that, but that was cool.
No, and he absolutely did not have to do that. Like I said, I don't know if he heard. You know, it's loud. The game is changing. I don't know if he heard me tell him, like, don't worry about it. Look, it was almost gone anyway. No big deal. I don't know if he heard that or not. But the fact that he went and did that, like, that was pretty cool. To experience that in an NFL game when I'm going in going, geez, hope nobody gets in a, you know, a brawl around us, or hope people aren't throwing beers on each other around us. And just the opposite. Yeah, unfortunately, Maddox lost his icy, but the dude goes and gets him one, a new one, and brings it to him, which, you know, he certainly didn't have to do. And so I thought that was really cool. So I got nothing but good marks from Thursday night. I hope that's the new norm at Nissan Stadium. I hope that's what people have been experiencing all year. I don't know that because it was my first time there ever. Well, it was the first time for me sitting in the stands at a Titans game. So I don't know if this is if you had the same type of experiences. You said this, you've gone three times.
Yeah.
This year and sat in the stands.
Yeah. And I've sat, what's interesting, I've sat in the lower bowl, I've sat in the club, and I've sat in the upper bowl too. So I've, you know, seen it from different areas. And I mean, you know, the club level is typically a little bit different because you got inside that you can go, and that's, yep, where the suites are. And but yeah, I mean, I've had a great experience. I mean, I can't complain. And you know, I've seen a couple of arguments in the stands, but I haven't seen like a full on fight or anything. And so I, you know, that's obviously a good thing. But I think they have gotten it cleaned up of, you know, getting in and out of the stadium. You know, I think I had a you just made the list a few weeks ago about coming down the ramp and, you know, guy was in a hurry and about knocked me over. You know, you're going to have that. But, you know, the whole getting in and out of the stadium, I think they've really done a good job of fixing that. Concession stands, I was worried about because when I went to something there, Garth, that got ended up getting canceled, they were definitely understaffed, you know, for that stuff, for concessions. But with games, it really hadn't been that bad.
That was in August, right, Garth?
July. Yeah, end of July, yeah. Early August.
End of July. Yeah,
it was July 31st, my mom's birthday. That's when it was.
That's right.
So.
Well, I didn't see any staffing issues at all. So just wanted to pass that along. I was pleasantly pleased with the whole production, the whole night.
And you saw a win.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of out of their control, right, on what happens there.
No, but for you taking your son.
Yeah, that was great. Sure. No, that's great. But, by the way, we left and the minute was over and got out, no issues. I mean, it was about as fast as you could possibly imagine getting out. So they've done a better job of coning things off and directing traffic and getting people out of there. At least that was our experience. I don't know if that was
not
that
bad
way for everybody.
And I, you know, what I usually do is I usually park across the river and just walk across the bridge. But that's usually an easy process. You know, it's not the bridge is packed. You can, if you fall down, you're done. But you gotta stay with the herd. But no, I mean I haven't had issues with that. They've gotten that figured out down to a science.
The teams have exchanged field goals. It's 10-3 Houston with just under 2 minutes to go in the first half in Birmingham, Alabama. There's some news, some interesting things going on with the Colts. Their game against the Raiders. We'll discuss it on the other side. I don't know if there's anything to this or not, but I'm seeing hints of this on Twitter, and I wonder, see what you think about it. We'll do that on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day. Let's do this. Caller 8, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caller 8 will win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, February 25th. Friday, February 25th. There you go. That's all you have to do. Be caller 8. Lucky caller 8.
I think I'm going to be at that concert.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Dierks. I've seen him. He played before the draft on Broadway, so that was cool. He did like a big show there, or during the draft, I should say. And then I saw him at the arena about 5 years ago. So he puts on a good show.
Should be. Let's find out who's listening. 615-737-1025. Sounds like a lot of you. Phone lines are loaded. Let's see. Don't forget, this Thursday, the Transperfect Music City Bowl will be on 102.5 The Game and our sister station, 93.3 Classic Hits, Tennessee and Purdue. And that game, that coverage will be presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Tickets are available for the game at musiccitybowl.com. Looking forward to that. We'll be there in attendance on Thursday. Is that right?
Yeah, we will. Okay. We'll be doing the official pregame show starting at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So Elliot will move that day, but we'll have that starting at 1, so it should be fun.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD, products curated for life. So what do you have currently at BetMGM on the Colts-Raiders line? And I'll look up DraftKings. Typically, those two are in lockstep. They're pretty much always, I feel like, together.
I have... It is off the board.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It is off the board.
Okay. Boy, you're right. It is off the board. Well. That's why I was seeing this stuff.
Well, I just saw a Schefter tweet that I guess you're referencing.
Okay, I have not seen that one.
Colts have placed quarterback Carson Wentz.
There you go.
On the reserve COVID list.
That's what I was – so – okay, so this is what I was seeing while we were having this discussion the last 30 minutes. The line had moved 2 points.
In the
Raiders' favor. People out there going, is anybody noticing the Colts line is dropping against the Raiders by 2 points? I guess it went from 7 to 5. And then I saw people tweeting, there's only two players on the Colts that could get the line to move like that being out, and that would be either Wentz or Jonathan Taylor. And so there were a lot of people speculating that Wentz or Taylor were about to test positive, or about the news was about to come out that they have tested positive.
Interesting. Yeah, and I had seen before I had seen a Twitter account that was saying that about the Lions, and then that Vegas knew something, and that now I guess we know.
So there you go. Carson Wentz on the COVID list. Who's their backup?
Isn't it
Kelly Holcomb?
Yeah, it's Kelly Holcomb.
Jim Sorgi.
Sam Ellinger.
Jim Sorgi.
Sam Ellinger. I was having to think for a second.
So I guess what we don't know is, that mean Wentz is out? Kind of going back to our previous discussion.
Well, I mean, can he test out? Or I mean, that's the question, because it's Tuesday.
Well, if you're sitting there reading the stuff that I'm reading, you're thinking probably not, because why would the line be plummeting?
He is also unvaccinated, so rules for him are a little different than it is for
vaccinated
players.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We should – yes, that's right.
Because he's – you know, during Hard Knocks, he's worn the mask and
– yes. And everything. That's right. That is absolutely right. So he's out. He's out. That's why that – so when you see a line move that fast, that – and now, I mean, I get it. Now it's off the board. Now it's going to get readjusted to what? Probably Colts by 3.5? Don't you think it's going to go from like 7 to 3.5?
Probably. But, I mean, I think it shifts, you know, to the Raiders. Because
you think it takes an about face?
Yeah, I mean, if Wentz is out, if you're going with Sam Ellinger?
Well, let me ask you something. Why didn't Ian Book? So Miami had won 6 in a row. They started Ian Book.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the line never moved?
It did.
New Orleans by 3.
No.
It was Miami at 3 when it closed last night.
No. It was Miami by 3.
Was it?
Because I had it both. When you guys gave me crap on the show on Thursday and I placed the bet on Thursday, I got Miami, or Wednesday, whenever it was, I got Miami plus 3. I also got them last night at minus 3, and I hit both.
Did I look at that wrong last night? I was like,
no, they closed.
Why
as the favorite.
Is Miami still a 3-point underdog? Are you sure?
Yes, absolutely sure.
Was it that way all day yesterday?
I believe
so.
Yeah,
at that wrong.
Yeah, they were minus 3.
Ever since the Ian Book news came out, I noticed that's when it shifted to Dolphins minus 3.
Okay. Okay. Well, I must have looked at it wrong, because I was confused last night of why is New Orleans still favored by 3? So Miami was favored by 3. Okay. Clearly, you can tell I end up just staying away, which I shouldn't have. I guess they have Sam Ellinger and Brett Hundley.
Yeah. Hundley, well, Hundley's, I think, their practice squad guy that they would have to elevate. Sam Ellinger. I thought they had somebody. I thought they had another.
They had Jacob Eason.
Eason, yeah.
And Eason is on another practice squad, I believe.
Yeah, they have.
I don't think you can.
Hundley.
Do that. You can't do that. I don't think you can't go practice squad. Like if you pluck somebody off, you have to put them on their active.
No, I think they had released him. Maybe is.
Oh, they released him. Okay. You can't pluck somebody off somebody's practice squad and put them on your practice squad. Unless maybe they elevated him.
No, but if they get released again, then you can.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm saying if he was on the prior. Okay, yeah. If he got that, that's the only thing that makes any sense.
Yeah, huh. He's in Seattle now.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow. So what does that do for the Colts game against the Raiders? Mm-hmm. Remember, a Titans victory or a Colts loss has the Titans winning the division.
Yep. I mean, this certainly helps the Titans. Nah, they got to take care of their own business. I mean, you got to,
well,
you know.
Not necessarily.
All kidding aside. I know, but all kidding aside. I know I have Miami in the top 10, and they will remain there because they were victorious. The Titans should beat Miami. The Titans are the better team. Now, I worry about their COVID issues, but they should beat Miami.
I will just tell you, watching the game last night, one, it was painful.
Ugh.
Two, I get it. When you put them in the top 10, I gave you the list of the teams they've beaten. They've beaten nobodies. They have literally beaten nobody. But, you know, whatever. They beat seven teams in a row.
They've won seven in a row.
They haven't beaten anybody. And I watched them last night, and, yeah, they dominated New Orleans. But New Orleans was a shell of themselves. Ian Book was just getting clobbered. I mean, I tweeted at one point during the game, like, is the Miami defense going to get brought up on assault charges on Ian Book? I mean, they're just –
second NFL pass is a pick six.
Was it his – I couldn't remember if it was his first or second pass. Second pass.
He completed his first one. It was a little – you know, dink and dunk thing, but his second NFL pass is a pick six.
Mm. Yikes. I think that was also the worst offensive output for a Sean Payton team, I believe.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And then I saw this stat on Twitter. I think Schefter put it out there that the Dolphins are the first team in NFL history to have both a seven-game winning streak and a seven-game losing streak in the same season.
Well, Eli brought that up to us in the first hour. That is true. Yeah. He brought that up. He's doing the game, by the way. He's doing the Titans Dolphins game.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, cool. For Sports USA.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. He is doing it. So he'll be in Dallas doing Alabama Cincinnati Friday afternoon at 2:30, and then he'll be here Sunday for the Titans Dolphins game.
Wow. He's never had to do an Alabama game and then drive or fly to Nashville before, has he?
No, never, never. He's never doing Alabama games this late. Never.
Well, I mean, like the same weekend. How many times did he have to do that? He'd do the Bama game on Saturday and then come to Nashville for a Preds game at some point.
Let's go to Tim on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I just heard you guys said that the Dolphins didn't ever play nobody. I'm a big Dolphin fan. I heard that, and I kind of disagree on that. When you look at the statistics this year, they shut down the Patriots, and they shut down mainly the Ravens, and they had a stout defense, and then the Dolphins' defense showed up like they want nothing. And then last night, where the Steelers' defense was pretty good, and Tua was pretty much not impressive to me, I don't think. But I just kind of say I agree with you guys saying, and I'll just go from there. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for the call. Well, first of all, it wasn't you guys. It was me. So it wasn't plural, singular. I was talking about the seven-game winning streak where they have beaten the Texans, the Jets twice, the Panthers, the Giants, the Saints last night, and then, yes, the Ravens. And were the Ravens missing anybody in that game? I don't know. Was that the Lamar? I don't know if Lamar played or not.
Yeah, the Ravens, I believe, are fully healthy. Well, okay. As fully healthy as the Ravens.
No, that was a good win.
And I think I said that when you put them last week, when you put them in their top. I guess that was Thursday's show, and I said I'll grant you the Ravens win. That's a good win. Even though right now today the Ravens are not in the playoffs. They are not a playoff team. So the point is,
and they did beat the Patriots week one, is what he was referencing, I guess.
Yes, and a lot.
You know, lots changed.
That was the beginning of September. I mean, the NFL, as we see, ebbs and flows, and you can't compare what happened. The Kansas City Chiefs were 3-4. Now they've won 8 in a row. So I would say today, if you look at the Chiefs team that came in here and the Titans destroyed, that's not the same Kansas City team, right? They're not today. That's not the same Kansas City. I get it. It's a win, and that's good for them. I'm talking about in the seven-game winning streak, they have not beaten a playoff team yet. That's all I was saying. I'll even give them I said it Thursday. I said the Ravens, okay, that's a good win. That was the Thursday night game, and the Ravens were pathetic. Actually, now that I think about it, I was in Gatlinburg. I watched it. The Ravens were absolutely pathetic. But, you know, Miami won that game. They dominated them. Lamar Jackson was bad. And, you know, they beat the Ravens. But my point is they've won seven games, and it's none of them are against the current playoff team. So that does factor. Look,
yeah,
they've won
but,
them.
But you
that's
have
all
to,
that matters.
Right. You have to admit, winning seven games in a row in the National Football League, I don't care who you're playing, that's pretty impressive to do.
Yeah, but
it's hard to win
have
this league.
You also have to point out who have they beaten. And that's
fair.
I'm just saying they haven't beat the who's who in the league.
During their winning streak, here are the quarterbacks that started for the opposing teams. Tyrod Taylor, Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco, Cam Newton, Mike Glennon, Zach Wilson, Ian Book.
Yikes. Enough said. Right? There you go. Mic drop. Elijah, mic drop. I mean.
Please don't drop them.
Give
mics.
Me a break. Yeah, don't do that.
Please don't break our stuff.
And I will say this. Where I was going with that is while the Dolphins dominated the Saints last night, Tua's a hard one to figure out. Like, he makes throws. I'm like, okay. Like, the throw, what's the guy's name? That was a nice play on a third down play, the 40-yard completion to, what is it, Hollins?
Yeah, Mac Hollins down the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, that was a nice throw. But then there's other throws, it's like, my goodness. Like, he's not even close.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, though. Jalen Waddle, that guy's a stud. Not that we didn't know that, but, like, he's going to be good in this league. And he makes that team better because, as they pointed out on the broadcast, that even if he's not the one making the play, he had 10 catches last night for 92 yards, he's opening up for somebody else to make a play like Hollins, like you were talking about, that 40-yard play. So Tua does worry me. I think that he's going to have to continue to develop. He may not be this elite quarterback like he was in college. He may just be really good. And I still don't think the book is closed on Deshaun Watson with them. I still think they could certainly try and do that in the offseason because he would take them to another level, especially with a receiver like Jalen Waddle. But they put 20 up on New Orleans. They did defensively dominate them.
New Orleans defense is very good.
Yeah. And they were picked over, I mean, with COVID.
Right. I know. And so I just wasn't that impressed with Miami last night. I know it's a win, and I know they won seven, but there's just things about, like what going back to initially what started this conversation, the Titans should win that game. Period.
They should.
They should beat the Dolphins here.
The Titans should win out.
They should.
Like, if you really want to
doesn't
say
mean
it.
They're going to, but they should.
Right.
They should win out. They should end up getting the 2 seed. They should. Now, we'll see if that happens, but just looking at it, they should win out.
Well,
you should beat Miami here on Sunday.
If they win, here's the thing. They should win out, and you say get the 2 seed, but if Cincinnati beats Kansas City this weekend, then they would get the 1 because they win the tiebreaker.
Yeah, well, we'll see what's going on with Cincinnati.
Yeah. Who knows? Are you going to get
– You know they've got their fingers crossed. Well, I've already seen there's teams already in the NFL that are starting to break up quarterback rooms.
Oh, yeah, and they should.
Because was it the Cincinnati backup tested positive yesterday, right?
Correct.
Backup quarterback.
Yep.
So.
Honestly, if I'm the Titans, I am telling Ryan Tannehill, hey, you hang out at home and don't leave this week. We'll tell you where to go on Sunday. We'll have your room. We'll have your locker room set up on its own. But, like, I wouldn't worry about stowing away the backup or the practice squad guy. Put the starter in isolation. Yeah.
If
point.
You haven't heard, Carson Wentz, who's unvaccinated, has tested positive for COVID. So expect him not to be in the lineup Sunday against the Raiders. The Jags have requested a certain team for an interview for a certain coach on their staff to be their next head coach. I'll tell you who I'm talking about as we come back, and we'll wrap up the third hour next. You can call us, 615-737-1025. Craig Craddock did. He was lucky caller 8. Craig's going to be at the Dierks Bentley concert at Bridgestone Arena on February 25th. So good job by Craig for listening, because I didn't tell you we were going to give tickets away, and we just did because you were listening. So good job by Craig. Carson Wentz on the COVID list. Probably going to be out for the Colts against the Raiders. Also saw this, which could affect the Titans division moving forward down the road. The Jags have requested what team to interview their coach for their head coach position.
I believe that the team they have contacted is probably in the same state that they are.
Yep, it's the Tampa Bay Bucks, which the day we talked about Herb getting fired, who did I bring up? So
you
there's your here's your hire.
Former Jags quarterback Byron Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich. The Jags have requested an interview with Byron Leftwich. I believe he's going to be their next coach.
I think it'd be the right move. I mean, you know, it's hard to tell with coordinators, you know, exactly how good they're going to be. But, you know, if Brady's giving you high praise as the OC, you got to listen to that. I think he's worked his way up. He's worked with Bruce Arians the last few years. That's not a bad guy to learn from at all. And he knows the lay of the land. When you pointed that out, because you said, I think your exact words were, when I say it, you're going to go, oh. And I did. Like, that was, it's the perfect fit because he knows the lay of the land. He knows the BS that you have to deal with there in Jacksonville. Now, he doesn't necessarily know the ownership, but he knows how tough of a market it is. I think it would be a good move. And he can develop a quarterback. He can work with a young quarterback. He knows a thing or two about playing that position.
He does. He should.
And I always thought he was pretty good as a QB. And didn't he? He also went to Pittsburgh and later in his career. I think he backed up Ben a few years. Mm-hmm. So he did. Not a bad place to be. He hadn't been retired long.
He's a great guy. Great guy. I remember interviewing him when he was the Jags quarterback and going, man, I'm impressed by him.
I've never dealt with him, but was that at a Super Bowl or?
No. No, he did a lot of charity work when he was the Jags quarterback. And it was one of those, you know, one of those emails where you get, you know, it's like, really? We can have on Byron Leftwich?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport saying the Jags have also requested permission to interview.
I don't know. Who?
Kellen Moore, ooh. Dallas Cowboys OC.
He'll get some looks. I don't think he gets a job, but I think he'll get some looks.
I said that about Matt LaFleur, and I was wrong.
Well, that's true. I said that about Matt LaFleur, and I was wrong. That I didn't think he'd get a job, and he got a really good job.
I said he will one day. It's just not now.
Yeah.
It's a little too soon, and I was wrong.
Well, and just to remind people, the NFL did change a rule so they can start the interview process. If you have an opening or have informed your coach that you're going to have an opening, you can start requesting interviews now.
That's why all this is. By the way, the Jags are evidently calling everybody. By the way, they did a twofer with Tampa. They said, yeah, we want to talk to Byron Leftwich, and we want to talk to Todd Bowles.
Now, Todd Bowles, I think, they could lose both their coordinators. I think that there is a good chance of that because – I know Todd Bowles, it didn't look good with the Jets, but how many times do you see, you know, a coach doesn't work out the first time, he was with a bad organization, and it does work out the second time? I'll tell you another one that I think is a shoe-in to potentially get a job is Dan Quinn. If he wants to jump back into that and being a head coach, I think he'll get it.
I don't know. I'm gonna say no on that.
Why do you say no?
I don't think so. I don't think enough time is – I think he's going to need more time.
Yeah, but look at what he's done in a year with Dallas's defense.
Yeah, and look at his body of work in Atlanta.
Got him to a Super Bowl. Almost won it.
Yeah, what year was that?
18?
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was four years ago.
I know, but still, like, not that long ago. I think that there was just too much of a hangover from how they gave that one away. I don't think he's a bad coach, though.
I'm not so sure on Bowles or Quinn. I think they're great coordinators. I think that's their role. Kellen Moore is intriguing because we've never seen him as a head coach. Byron Leftwich is intriguing because we've never seen him as a head coach. I think those guys probably deserve more of a shot than the two guys we've seen them as head coaches. And Dan Quinn had his moments, and certainly you're right. He did. He got him to the Super Bowl, and they should have won it, but they didn't. And after that, they fell apart. And Todd Bowles, yeah, you can say it's the Jets, but it didn't look good at all. I just think they're really good defensive coordinators. Really, really good. Like tops in the league. But they're just not meant to be head coaches. It's just my opinion.
Sure.
Could be wrong. We'll see if they get another bite at the apple.
I think they will. I think they will. But you have a good class of assistants that have never been head coaches, too. I mean, Dable's going to get looks, I think. You've already named a couple, and Kellen Moore and Byron Leftwich. You know, does Bieniemy? I mean, does he?
What's weird is you're not even hearing him this year.
No. I heard him more for some college jobs than NFL jobs. I'm reading a list of potential candidates. Jerod Mayo, who's the inside linebackers coach for New England, obviously.
Jerod Mayo,
former Vol. It's been around for a while.
Jags also going to interview Doug Peterson.
Makes sense. Does he get another shot?
Yeah, I think he does.
I mean, he did win a
Super
Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl. I think he will. That's some pretty good candidates for the Jags.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious, too, if after this week, you know, because this would, you know, usually be the last week. Now we've added the extra week. I'm wondering if you do see some firings after this week that they go ahead and just get it done.
Well, whose heads are on chopping blocks?
Well, Nagy? Obviously, Chicago, they've never fired a coach in season, but they've also never had a 17-game season before. So, again, they could make a change there.
If Peterson doesn't get the Jacksonville job, which I don't think he will, I don't know, though. I think Leftwich is going to be the leader in the clubhouse, but it's Jacksonville, so all bets are off. To me, Doug Peterson makes sense in Chicago.
Makes a ton of sense. Now, are these Ryan Day rumors true? You know, do they maybe flirt with doing that and putting him and Fields together there in Chicago? I think Peterson would make a ton of sense too, but, you know, who knows? And they're going to be figuring out GM because they're going to fire Ryan Pace. I don't see them keeping him. They shouldn't keep him. But let's see. Other heads that could roll. I mean, Chicago's the biggest one.
The Giants have said Judge is coming back. It's a huge mistake, but whatever. Yeah. That's their decision, and I think that's – you're just wasting another year.
Raiders are open. Broncos could potentially be open. Fangio was asked about that the other day and gave the typical answer. Texans? Do the Texans go one and done?
I don't know.
I wouldn't want to take that job anyway.
Nobody's changing that thing right now the way it is.
Vikings, I think, could be open.
Possibly.
Detroit, maybe, even though they play for him. But
Auburn just missed a 40-yard field goal, but Houston was offsides. So they get a do-over. They get five more yards. So now a 35-yard field goal attempted by Auburn, and he hit that. So 10-6. Houston over Auburn about 3 minutes into the third quarter. So still a long ways to go. We'll come back. Begin the final hour. Speaking of that, we'll talk college football with Mitch Light from The Athletic. We do that next.